Again, I give you Sam Powell, the lead evangelist of the New York City Church of Christ.
Amen. Let's be turning in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5.
Amen.
Going back to Ephesians.
Amen.
Where we spent time last night. The title of our class today is The Spiritual Leader. The Spiritual Leader. That's an upward call. Not many of us go around boasting, I am the spiritual leader. But God has called us to be that for our wives and for our families.
Yep.
And we need to make sure that we're constantly learning all that we can to be the best men that we can possibly be.
Amen.
Here in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, as we did last evening, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yep. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. That means that Jesus is at the top of things.
Yep.
Top of the church.
Yeah.
And the man is at the top of his family. He oversees it. His body, which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. This is one of the most abused passages in all of the Bible. Men who don't even know God, don't even love God, know this scripture. Non-Christians know this scripture. Wives, submit to your husbands. I've seen men use it, but they didn't use the rest of the Bible to affect their lives. So we want to make sure that we understand spiritually what this means. And that we don't abuse it, but that we obey it and live it out in the way that God has commanded. God has always had a plan for marriage. And the plan is that the man would fulfill his role as the leader of his family, the provider of his family, the protector of his family, and that the woman would fulfill her role as the supporter of her husband and the mother of the children, meeting the needs of her husband and helping raise the children and the training and instruction of the Lord. They're to work together as a team.
Amen.
That's God's will.
Amen.
That's God's plan. Now, let me tell you what it does not mean.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
So that we won't misinterpret this thing.
Come on.
And all of a sudden start thinking that we're something that we're not and that we can't even measure up to be.
Come on.
I don't know about you.
Come on.
But I can't do this marriage thing without my wife.
Come on. Right.
I can't lead effectively without my wife. We're partners. We have to work together.
Amen.
What it does not mean. It does not mean that husbands are superior to their wives.
Come on.
Hopefully you've learned that already. The man is not superior to the woman intellectually. There are a lot of women who are smarter than men.
That's right.
I mean, you went to school with girls who were smarter than you.
Yeah.
Your wife may be smarter than you.
Amen. Yes.
Some of you guys need to let her balance the checkbook and not you.
Uh-oh.
Maybe things will turn out better. It does not mean that the man is more spiritual than the wife. There are a lot of women who are more spiritual than men. Now, we need to strive to be the best that we can be spiritually. But some of us married women who were in the Lord longer than we've been in the Lord. My wife has been a Christian longer than I have. She was in the ministry before I went into the ministry. I don't know about you, but I stepped up when I got married.
Come on.
I married above my pay grade.
Amen.
That's how good God is to me.
Amen.
And as I look around, I think most of you guys have too.
Yeah.
That's true.
Women, for the most part, I think, are more naturally spiritual than men.
Yeah.
Men are knuckleheads, hardheads. Women see their need for God almost instantly. It takes us weeks and months, and then we spend the rest of our lives reminding you guys of how much you need God. Because we're knuckleheads sometimes.
How about that?
Well,
Men are not superior to women even emotionally. Now, I know sometimes we think that because the scriptures talk about how women can be hysterical, but I've seen some hysterical men too.
Come on, yeah.
You know, there are a lot of women who are calm in the midst of storm. And brothers who jump off the boat at the threat of a storm. So we need to learn from them. Let me share a scripture with you here. Galatians chapter 3.
Come on.
Galatians chapter 3. Now remember, our theme scripture is there in Ephesians 5, where it says the husband is the head of the wife.
Yeah.
As Christ is the head of the church. Right. As Christ is. Not our worldly understanding of what it means to be the head of something. All right? Ephesians 3, verse 26, it says, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourself with Christ. Here he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. See, in Christ, there's neither male nor female. Men and women are equal.
Amen.
When you get to heaven, you're not going to be able to tell your wife what to do.
Yep.
Wow.
She's not going to have your last name anymore.
That's right.
She's going to heaven, and she'll have a relationship with God, just like you have a relationship with God. Now, God's given us different roles on earth, but you are not superior to her.
Amen.
You're just blessed to have a different role in life.
Amen.
Than she has. And the better you treat your wife, the better things are for you.
Amen. That's right.
The more awesome your wife is, the more awesome things are for you.
Amen.
And so we've got to understand that and appreciate that, that a lot of us have this awesome, great woman who has decided to submit to us.
Amen.
Out of reverence for Christ.
Yeah.
She submits because it's God's will.
That's right.
Just as Jesus submitted to the Father.
Yeah, come on.
Your wife submits to you. Yeah. Not because you're more awesome than her in every area of life.
Mm.
If that's what you think it takes to be the leader, then you're never going to be the leader.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah. That's right.
Because we're flawed, fellas.
Yeah,
that's true. We have weaknesses and shortcomings.
Yeah.
But when you have a wife who understands that I'm going to work with you and submit to you and help you be awesome for God.
Yeah.
Be your best for God. That's God's will.
Amen.
And so that needs to be our understanding. It does not mean that you're superior.
Come on.
It just means you're blessed.
Yeah. That's true.
And really you're challenged because now you have responsibility not just over yourself, but over her and your children.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does not mean that husbands don't have to listen to their wives.
Yeah.
Not what it means. The stupid husband doesn't listen to his wife.
Come on, man.
You got to listen to your wife. I listen to my wife. I seek advice from my wife.
Amen.
I ain't crazy. I want to have a fun at home. I want to have a good life.
Amen. Amen.
And so I ask her, honey, what do you think? How do you feel about this?
Amen.
I just don't go off and do stuff and come back and say, I'm the man. Let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you what we're doing. Let me tell you what we're going out on vacation. Let me tell you how we're going to spend your paycheck and my paycheck. What's wrong with you, fool? You need to listen to your wife.
Amen.
In 1 Peter 3:7, this is where guys get this from sometimes. 1 Peter 3:7, Peter's talking about how the wife is the weaker partner. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. In the same way that Christ is submissive to the church and considerate in all things. It says, be considerate as you live with your wives. Be considerate. You got that, guys?
Yeah.
That means consider what she thinks.
That's right.
And treat them with respect.
Come on.
Wow.
When you respect a brother, you listen to him.
Yeah.
You don't listen to people you don't respect. But you want to know what people who you respect think and how they feel about things. With respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayer. What does that mean when she's the weaker partner? Sometimes we park on that. Hey, I was reading the Bible. And it says, I don't know if you know this, but you're the weaker partner, so that makes me the stronger partner.
Wow.
Well, Yeah. She's weaker physically.
Yeah.
At least in most marriages, the wife. Not in all marriages. Hopefully in your marriage. But yes, they're made differently, dude. Aren't you thankful that God made them the way they make? He made them.
Amen.
He didn't make a woman look like a man.
Amen.
God made them the way they are.
Amen.
Gentle.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So, yes, they do have some weaknesses. But that doesn't make them inferior.
That's right.
All right? And so you've got to understand that. It does not mean, therefore, that you don't have to entertain what she thinks.
Yeah.
You need to entertain what she thinks.
Amen.
As much as you entertain what anybody else thinks.
That's right. That's right.
How does she feel? What is she? What is her advice on this? Amen. See, your wife is, as he says here, he said, use the word weaker, but she's your partner.
Yeah.
Amen.
Partner.
Amen.
Now, you're in a business with somebody, and you're partners. That means you share.
That's right.
Because we're partners, man. So you don't go off and make decisions for the company and not let your partner know what's going on. You make him a part of the process.
Amen.
And not just a part of the conclusion of the matter. Wow. She is your partner. And so let me read some Proverbs for you that you need to apply to your marriage. I don't know if you've applied these, but you need to apply them.
Amen.
Proverbs 15:22.
Oh boy.
Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed.
That's right.
See, it's not going to work in your marriage. Your plans aren't going to work if you don't seek advice from your wife.
Come on.
Amen. You need to let her advise you. You know how we are, guys, even when it comes to driving and directions, and thank God for the GPS, right? I changed my GPS. I was telling Richard, I changed my GPS. I live in a house with three women. So I changed my GPS. It was a woman's voice. I changed it to the man's voice. Because I got tired of hearing from the women telling me what to do. You may not know you can do that. You can change the voice. You can change it to Bruce, Joe, somebody. Instead of Joyce. Joyce always tells you, turn left, turn right. But even if you have the woman's voice, you need to listen.
Amen.
Or you're going to fail. You end up in a ditch somewhere. Do you listen to your wife? She's an advisor.
Come on.
You want to be successful in marriage? She's your partner.
Amen.
Proverbs 20, verse 18. Make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance.
Come on.
Make plans by seeking advice.
Amen.
Apply that to your marriage.
Right.
Honey, tell me what you think about this. Tell me what you think we ought to do. Tell me how you think this might work out. And they always have plenty to say about it, don't they?
Yeah.
You don't want to go and do something dumb and then have to hear from it. So, well, if you would have just asked me, I could have told you that. Well, you're supposed to be the head. You want to be a smart head. Then seek advice before you go do something dumb. It's on you, man. What kind of leader you want to be? And then finally, Proverbs 26, verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And some brothers, they think they know it all. I got this. I know what I'm doing. I read the Bible. I'm the head of my house. So, that means I'm running this show. And you're running it right into the ditch. Because you think you know everything. You know, you're not that smart. None of us are that good. None of us are that awesome. None of us are that bright or wise. We need to get help.
Amen.
Especially from our wives, and we'll talk more about the need to get help from brothers. See, some of us, we don't want to be questioned. Don't be questioning me. Can you read it?
I'm ahead. Sam.
Look, you don't question ahead. Well, some of you need to be questioned.
That's right.
Look, you repented. You got baptized. You still got the brain you had before you got baptized. You didn't all of a sudden get baptized and become a spiritual genius. I don't know about you, but I made a mess in the world with women. I need to get a lot of help.
Yeah.
I needed a lot of help when I came into the kingdom. I didn't know what I was doing. I never grew up seeing a great marriage and family. So I need to get a lot of input. Some of us would always say, I got baptized. I got this.
Wow.
I got my Bible. I got this. And you better get some help.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Listen to your wife. Treat her like a partner.
Amen.
Treat her like a best friend. And if she asks you questions, you need to, okay, what do you think here? Let me stop for a minute. What's your concern? Instead of getting all proud and insecure, yo, woman, why you want to question what I'm doing? Don't you know who I is? Don't you know who I is? I know who you're going to be if you don't stop and listen. You're going to be a fool. And then you're going to have your wife mad at you too. It does not mean that you're not to be questioned, brothers.
That's right.
You question her, don't you? Mm-hmm. You're going shopping. What you going to buy? Which credit card you going to use?
Come on, Sam.
How much did it cost? Why'd you get that? Some of us, we act like we, like she doesn't even work. Some of you, I know a lot of men, their wives make more money than they make.
Mm-hmm.
You better lay low, bro. Make public knowledge of it, but at least be wise. God knows, man. Man, you can up your game, but until you get there, you just need to be humble.
Amen.
She's got feelings too. It does not mean that the man has to be better at everything.
That's right.
You can't be the best at everything.
That's right.
Life doesn't work like that. A lot of you guys play sports, right? I mean, or if not, you watch sports. Nobody is the best at everything.
Right.
Yep. Possible. Can't be that.
That's right.
It's a team. No matter how good a quarterback is, if he doesn't have an offensive line, he's dead.
Yep.
That's right.
So what's a smart quarterback do? He prays the offensive line. That's what a smart running back does. He prays offensive line, he takes those guys out to dinner.
Yep.
Yeah, you take Bubba and Leroy and all. That's why I'm getting, man. Yep. You're saving my life.
Yep.
Come on, we act like I don't need anybody help.
Yeah.
I'm the best.
Help us, bro.
No, you're not. As I was telling you before, some of you guys, your wives are brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, they're multilingual.
Mm.
Incredible. And you can't even remember the names of your children sometimes. You know what I'm talking about. Romans 12, verse 6 says, we have different gifts.
That's right.
According to the grace given us. Some of your wives have gifts that you don't have. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. You know, if it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously.
Right.
If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. Yeah. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Yeah. Some of your wives have gifts that you don't have.
That's right.
Amen.
So walk with them.
Amen.
Use those talents.
Amen.
Praise God for the gifts you have.
Amen.
But you're not the best at everything.
Amen. That's right.
Wow. There are things my wife is much better at than I am. She's much better at serving and meeting the needs of the sick and things like that than I am. And so she always reminds me, Sam, we got to make sure we go to this hospital. We got to make sure that, you know, we take a meal to this person. Man, if you left that up to me, the people never get fed. Or if they did, it'd be KFC. It wouldn't be home cooked.
We're going to stop by the
to KFC on the way there and drop him some chicken. That's what I'd like. But she makes it personal. As I was telling you last night, she makes me look good. I use her gifts. She used my gifts so that we work together as one.
Amen.
So, guys, I hope you understand what it doesn't mean. Let's talk about what it does mean. To be the head of your wife, your family, means it's your job to take care of her. You are entrusted by God to love her, to protect her, just as you said on your wedding day. In sickness and in health.
Come on.
To love and to cherish.
Come on.
To God by death to separate us. It is an incredible responsibility.
That's right.
That's right.
That I am your protector.
Come on.
Yeah.
Go down the list.
I'm here to make sure that you and I both get to heaven.
That's right.
God has entrusted me with this incredible woman. To love and to build up, to glorify Him.
Amen.
And in the end, to get us and our children to heaven.
Amen.
What an incredible responsibility.
Yep.
What an incredible privilege to be the head of your family.
Amen.
An honor. And we need to praise God for that.
Amen.
And ask Him for the strength to fulfill it.
Amen.
So let's talk about leadership. What the class is about, right?
Right?
Let's talk about spiritual leadership. I want to make a few points, and then the class will be yours. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So 1 Timothy 4, Paul is sending Timothy into Ephesus, into a new situation, and is telling him how to lead. This is how you lead, Timothy. This is how you be effective in leadership. And I think we can take a lot of these principles and apply them to our marriage and
Amen.
Understand what it truly means to be the head, to be the leader of our family. Now, there is no scripture that says that the man is the leader of his wife. He does say he's the head of his wife. And since we're so much into leadership in our day and age, we love that word. You know, I'm the leader. And really, when Jesus talks about leading, he's always talking about being the servant.
That's right.
You know, that the greatest among you is the servant, and the least of all. But you know, we sometimes forget all that because we like the leadership badge, and we've got to be careful about that and understand that really leading in the scriptures is really being the person who's willing to be nothing.
That's right.
To meet the needs of others. The spiritual leadership. That the way up is down.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that we've got to understand that Christ-like leadership is servant leadership.
That's right.
It's not authoritarian leadership.
Right.
And so when we're giving this responsibility of leading our wives, it's all about being a spiritual man.
That's right.
Who's there to meet needs.
Amen.
And to lead them to heaven, to lead them closer to God. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll just begin in verse 7. And I'm just going to apply some principles of leadership to our marriage and ask you some questions, and you can write down the answers for yourself, okay? 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, but rather train yourself to be what, brothers?
Godly.
Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness holds value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders lay their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Amen.
Because if you do, you will save both your wife and yourself.
Amen.
Right? Amen. That's what we want to do. So let's kind of run back through this. He starts off with training yourself to be godly. Yeah. Wow. The way I see it, the problem in many marriages is a lack of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. Wow. Most often in the man.
Wow.
Most often in the brother. We've got to make sure that we are continuing to grow.
Amen.
Spiritually.
Amen.
What does it mean to be a spiritual leader? You got to understand this. You have to keep growing spiritually.
Amen.
You can't become stagnant.
Come on.
No, I have spiritual responsibility in my family. I have spiritual responsibility in the church.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to lead and be a leader in the New York church and have the responsibility that they have given me as the, quote, lead evangelist, I've got to keep growing spiritually.
That's right,
man.
Every year, every week, every day, I've got to be looking for ways that I can become more like Jesus.
Come on, man.
Amen.
Things I need to change.
Amen.
Same thing holds true for my marriage. If I want my marriage to grow, if I want to be an effective husband, how can I grow?
Come on.
How can I mature?
Amen.
How can I become more like Jesus? Which means I have to train myself to be godly.
Come on.
That's on you.
Yeah. That's right.
That's on me. You know, the word train there is the word gymnazo, which means to exercise vigorously. We get the word gymnasium from this word.
Come on.
It's the same word that's used in Hebrews 5 when he says, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
Yeah.
Training, vigorous exercise. Buffeting my body to become the best man I can be. It's the same word used in Hebrews 12, verse 11, when he says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Guys, to be the spiritual leader of your family, you're going to have to be involved in constant spiritual training.
Amen. Amen.
And what hurts the church more than anything, and what hurts marriage more than anything, is when men fail to grow spiritually.
Wow. Well,
come on.
Help us out, bro.
It just clogs up the spiritual wheel. Mm-hmm. Brothers that you need to be able to depend on to disciple and equip and meet the needs of new converts and people who are moving into the congregation, you can't call on them because like brothers in the same place.
Come on.
But he's always been. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
Well, we can't depend on you to take care of anybody because you're not really taking care of yourself.
That's right.
So you got to understand this. You've got to decide, I'm going to be the best man of God I can be.
Come
so
on.
I can give glory to God, so that I can encourage my wife, so I can be an example to my children.
Come on.
Amen.
Train yourself.
Amen. Amen.
To be godly, decide, I'm going to find the spiritual books that will help me to grow. Learn all I can about marriage. Learn all I can about being a man of God. Learn all I can about spiritual leadership. Man, I'm going to listen to sermons to get inspired to walk closer to God.
Amen.
I'm going to get close to other spiritual men because I want to be the best I can be spiritually.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you're becoming the best you can be spiritually, then you'll be leading your wife.
Yep.
You won't have to worry about respect.
Mm. Mm.
Because she'll respect the fact that though you're not perfect, you're seeking to be like Jesus.
That's right.
Amen.
Day in and day out. Train yourself to be God. Look at these areas he talks about. Set an example for the believers. It's speech and life and love and faith and impurity. Let's talk about setting an example for our wives in speech. Ask your question. How do you talk to your wife?
Come on.
If I was to ask her, what's the tone of your conversation? What do you like around the house? Now, are you a drill sergeant barking at